We were talking right now in the office, me and Brother David. We have a new generation that is growing up without the knowledge of the good things that many of you had had on the past. Now, back some time ago, our family was the only family in the village, a little Jewish village. We were the only ones who had a television, a big RCA that stood on four legs. Y'all remember that? And then we had something that we used to call Vitrola. It was they had the disc that you put the disc in, and then you went the whole thing and put the thing to play, and once the string finished, the disc stops. But was good enough to play a disc. Then later, late 60s, early 70s, they came with the automatic one. They used to say automatic, because you no longer had to wind it. You just put the disc and you press the button and the thing goes. And then it starts plays. And when it comes to the end of the record, it lifts up and... Y'all have this thing here, right?
Yes.
Well, on those days, music used to be something that you could actually entertain yourself. Music used to be something that was somewhat
sane.
You know, reasonable. Not like today when you turn on the radio 92Q, whatever thing is called, is only cursive words, lyrics that are denigrating women, and cursing God and mankind, and they call that junk music? That's Satan's vomit. In those days, you would have turned on the TV, you would have the Flintstones. Mr. Flintstone and Barney. And their respective wives.
Fred.
Yeah, Fred and Barney, right? And they used to have comedies where families were in the comedy. Mom, dad, and the children. And then the children grew up and they had their own children. Now you have pa, or grandfather, grandmother, the children, and the grandchildren. And it would be things that we used to laugh about. In our days, it's about a single mother with one or two kids trying to rule over the whole world. This generation is growing without a sense of hope or godliness. I remember that when I was growing up, the government had a censorship department. Certain things couldn't be played until 10 o'clock. My father was nuts about the Wild West movies. Clint Eastwood, right? The good, the bad, and the ugly. But that would not play until after 10 o'clock. And then before the movie started playing, there would come something on the screen say, this movie has been rated R for violence, bad language, whatever else. This program is not recommended for children under 18. So where are you going, preacher? Here's where I'm going. Despite of things being messed up as it were on the past, there was still some sense of sanity in society. Nowadays, things got so bad, that this generation is oblivious to the things of God. They know very little, and the little that they know is messed up. We live in a generation that doesn't believe that whatever happened to their ancestors can happen to them. Never in the history of our country have we had such a great dropout from school as we have today. This generation is so unmotivated that some of them will go to college to get mom and dad out of their backs. But college becomes a reason to live an immoral life. And the sad part? They will pick up $60,000, $70,000 loan to go to college to study English. How pathetic is this? Philosophy. Dude, you're not going to pay bills having a degree in philosophy. You're not in Greece. We are in the age of the internet. So where are you going with this? We are living nowadays with the generation of it is impossible. And that's the title of our meditation. We have a group, we have a generation out there now that can't pass beyond, I can't believe it. Or, it is impossible. There's no way that I can achieve this. Do you really think God can do this? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. The life of faith is one of the most beautiful way of living. Because when people try to contest, you tell them to look back. This is what it was. This is what it is right now. And based on this result, that's what's going to be. Tonight, I am challenging each one of us to have that goal, that thing that we think it's impossible. I want you to have it fresh in your mind because before I finish the meditation tonight, I want you to reverse that idea. Are we together here?
Yes.
We had a Korean lady come in here bring her son. The kid is a PK, pastor's kid, and made a mistake, like every stupid child, to get involved with Harry Potter. And then it went downhill to horror movies. Anytime that you start playing with fire, you're going to get burned. A demon from one of the movies jumped into that child. And the child dropped out of school. Got depressed. Locked himself in the room. Stopped eating. And then became violent with the parents. Without knowing what to do, they brought the boy to us. When they look at the boy, I look serious. I saw what was going on. He started. Without much fight, in the name of Jesus, I submit to God and I bind you. Get out. Get out right now. Get out. He goes down. And he starts shaking. Shh. Be quiet. Not in here. By the way, I bind you right now. Amen. I bind this strong man right now. And I sentence you back to the pits of hell. This kid screams, and he's like, he's dead. So everybody, shh, leave it alone. So I think Brother Donald was here Tuesday morning to pick him up. And he got up and he's looking at me. He asked his mother, where are we? She said, we're in church. It's okay, son. Get your stinking act together. Stop watching horror movies. And he's looking at me. He said, otherwise it's going to be worse than this. They went back. This kid picked up all the horror movies that he had bought, video games, and he himself destroyed.
Amen.
I told him, you better get your act together. Go back to school. He said, it's impossible. So no, it is not. You've been lied to. We live in a society where our children and even the adults have been muzzled by the "it's impossible" sentence. We live in a society where we have placed limits in God. We have placed limits on the way that we think. We have placed limits on what we can do. Because too often we hear that sentence, "it's impossible." Beloved, I believe tonight that you and I need to take the limits off, out of our thinking. And in order to do so, we must put aside this nonsense thinking, "it is impossible." According to the Bible, in Mark 9:23, Jesus begs to defer of that kind of thinking. Listen to Mark 9:23. Will you care to read it with me? Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." God has never, ever, ever, ever stopped being God. God has never, ever, ever stopped doing miracles. God has never, ever stopped blessing his people. Our generation got so messed up that we have stopped believing. And when we stop believing that God can do what he says he can, then things start looking impossible. Are we together so far? You may ask, how do we deal with this situation, preacher? I'm going to ask you again. What is it in your life today you would consider impossible? Think about it again. Got it? Providing that it's legal. Don't you ever, 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 ever give up on your dreams. Amen. Don't you ever, 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 ever give up on your hopes and expectation. Because there is a champion within you. Amen. There is a warrior within you. Amen. Heavens is the limits for you. Nobody can stop you from being what God wants you to be. Nobody can stop you from accomplishing the best in your life, because this is what God has in mind for you. So quit that lousy thinking, "it's impossible." Because according to this word, once faith kicks in, what they say? All things are possible. So what I want you to do right now, that thing that you just thought to yourself right now, you don't have to shout loud. Nobody has to know your business. But you can whisper right now within yourself, "such and such and such is possible." Yeah. Tell yourself. Father God, in the name of Jesus right now, I reverse the negative thought. I reverse the things that cause my people to think it was impossible. In the name of Jesus, we come into agreement and we declare, it is possible because we believe in you. It is possible because you said, if we can believe, all things are possible. And Father, we are choosing to believe in our dreams. We choose to believe that you always had the best in mind for us, and we want it. We choose to believe in that future, good future, and that hope that you have for us. And therefore, we declare, it is possible. Say with me, it is possible.
It is possible.
So, how do we go about this, preacher? We're going to work on changing this way of thinking tonight. And the first step I want to ask you to do, based on God's word, is think about, as we're talking about resurrection today, think about the resurrection of Jesus on a daily basis. What? Yes. Why should I think about Jesus' resurrection? Because the resurrection of Jesus reveals the miraculous power of God to do anything. And you know, as we meditate on this truth, we will know that God can do anything that He has promised to you and I. When Jesus told the disciples that the Son of Man must die and rise again on the third day, they're looking at Him, what in the world is He talking about? That people don't come back from the dead. What are you talking about? Maybe some of them had a glimpse. Well, maybe it means like what happened to Lazarus or the son of the widow. But when you go to Luke 1:37, amidst of all the doubts that this young lady had, and I think the disciples had at some point in life, the angel of God says, nothing, you see, is impossible with God. Whatever is the dream that you have right now, that you think it's impossible, if you try to do it on your own, it may very well be impossible. But you know, if you call God to join in your dream and your expectation, nothing is impossible with God on the picture. Are you with me so far? When you go to Psalm 119, I think it's 90, may I have Psalm 119, there you go, 96. I see the limits to everything human, but the horizons can't contain your commands. It's not commandments, your commands. What you're saying, preacher? Humanly speaking, may be impossible to achieve certain things in life. And we can see that there are limitations on things that humans do. But when God gets into the picture, there is no limit because God can command something to happen that will mess up the law of nature. Did you remember that Joshua was fighting? And one day he's coming and the fight is really intense. And he sees this guy standing in the middle of the field. He goes to the guy and said, are you for us? Or are you for the enemy? The guy answered, neither or. I am a captain of the armies of the Lord's of hosts. Immediately, smart guy, he fell down on the floor in honor to that angel. This past week, I made a prayer. I assigned 4 heavy-duty angels to do a task for us. And it worked. You what? I assigned. You can't assign an angel. Yes, I can. Hebrews 1:14 says that angels are ministering spirits that work on behalf of those who's going to inherit eternal life. Well, I saw in the spirit that something was about to happen. So I assigned Michael, that is the angel from the nation of Israel. I assigned Gabriel, who is standing before God's throne at all times. I assign that commander that worked with Joshua. He's a fighter. And I assign the angel on Revelation that when he stood, he would reach from heaven to earth. He's quite a tall guy. So we got all the corners covered. I assign them to work on my behalf for that day. And I got the answer for my prayer. There may seem limits to everything humans do, but the horizons can't contain God's commands. Not commandment, commands. What's the difference? Command is when you give an order and something happens. Are you with me here? So whenever you are tempted to think about the difficulty of the problem or the impossibility of the thing that you're looking for, start thinking about resurrection power. I mean, no human being ever, there's nothing registered in the history of mankind about a man that died, came back from the dead, and never died again. That very same power is working at your disposal. Romans chapter 8 says, the power that brought Jesus Christ, or that raised Jesus Christ back from the dead, shall bring life to your mortal bodies. So that very same resurrection power is available to you. Therefore, with God, nothing is impossible. Don't hold on your dream. Speak your dream into existence. Think about the resurrection power. That's how you change that negative thought. What else, preacher? Try to erase from your mind that kind of think, I can believe that. How many times have we heard somebody say, I can believe it. I can believe that. Well, let me tell you this, beloved. Cynicism and skepticism have fueled our culture today. It has fueled our culture so much that it has become a habit, even for God's people, to repeat, I can believe that. Well, we need to get out of that habit of questioning and doubting the possibility of things. When you think there is no way, remember that Jesus is the way. So there is hope. Listen to Matthew 19:26. I want you to read it with me. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it's impossible. But with God, everything is possible. So let's erase from our heads that thought, I can't believe that. Well, I'm sorry, preacher, but I just can't believe that that can happen. No, no, no. Let us not put a limit on God. Let us not put a limit on God. And let us take out the limitation that we put in our thinking. When you go to Mark 10:27, it basically says the same thing. Watch this. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it's impossible. But not with God. Everything is possible with God. You came to Christ, right?
Yes.
God is with you, right?
Yes.
So there's nothing impossible to you.
Hallelujah.
As long as it's legal and morally right, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
You may look at me, okay, preacher, you're saying that I want to marry by the end of the year. You're saying that that can happen? Yes. Yes. God can do it.
Amen.
God can do it. There's no limitation on what God can do. Number three. Instead of being talking about the impossibility of things, let's deal with the real problem. It is easy just to kick the can down the road. So instead of telling ourselves it's impossible, I can't believe it, let's deal with the real problem. It's not whether God will help. The question is, am I willing to believe? When I used to preach in Catholic nations, people used to get mad at me. When they start talking about Jesus, I'm Catholic. No, you're not. I am Catholic. No, you're not. How dare you? One time a guy said, how dare you, you moron, to tell me what I am? I said, I'm proving you that you're nothing. Tell me, what are the seven fundamentals of the Catholic faith? What? What are the seven fundamentals of the Catholic faith? Oh, well, you know, this is for the preacher, but I'm Catholic. No, you're an idiot. And that, it went downhill. But you know, we get about 150 people into the kingdom of God. You know, it's the point, instead of kicking the can down the road and thinking that things are impossible, deal with the problem. And the problem is, many of us are not willing to believe. Why? Because it takes commitment. God will not take junk children. I used to tell the Catholic, you call yourself a Catholic because you don't want to compromise your life. You want to be able to live free, messed up, and do whatever you want to do. The next day you come, Father, bless me because I have sinned. How pathetic is this? Get real. So instead of us thinking that it's impossible, deal with the situation. It is not whether God can help us or not. It is whether we can believe and want to believe or not. So preacher, what you're saying? There was a man that came to Jesus and he had a son that was demon-possessed. He had the guts to tell Jesus, Lord, you know, if you can do something, help me. You know what? Let's read it. Brother Harry, let's go do verse by verse. Let's go to Mark 9:17. Start on 17. And give me a translation that everybody can understand. Either the NLT or the Backslider translation. Let's make it interesting. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal them. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. Did you notice that the demons want to shut you up?
Yes.
Verse 18. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I ask your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Dude, you're not dealing with the problem here. You're kicking the can down the road. It is your child that is demon-possessed. Now you come with your arrogant way. You know, this is all what the demon does. Yes, okay. And I brought him here for your disciples to help. And they couldn't do it. Well, excuse me, Jesus' disciple has nothing to do with the mess on your son's life. Deal with the problem. Verse 19. Jesus said to them, you faithless people. I said, deal with the problem, right? So what is the problem? lack of faith. You notice that he came and he portrayed the scenario, all the lousy things that the demons did to the kid, and then he blamed the disciples. I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't cure him. Jesus didn't cuss out the disciples. He said, "Your faithless people." Things are impossible in our lives because we are not willing to believe. Amen. Jesus went, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Now Jesus got mad. In plain English, "You idiots, how long are you going to be fooling around? How long I have to take you nonsense?" But yet said, "Bring the boy to me." You know what, Brother Harry, give me the backslider translation. I'm curious to see how they have it. Jesus said, "What a generation. No sense of God. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Bring the boy here." Don't kick the can down the road and keep saying, "Oh, preacher, you know, it's impossible. My situation, if my parents were rich, I could go to college." Baloney. "Well, you know, I don't want things for sure. If I would have a better wage, my life would be better." Baloney. If you can't be faithful in the little that you have, God will never put you on the plenty. Verse 20. They brought him. When the demon saw Jesus, when the demon saw Jesus, it threw the boy into a seizure, causing him to writhe on the ground and foam at the mouth. Now, something I wish you'd have picked up here. It says here, when the demon saw Jesus, it, not a he, not a she, it. Demons are not better than dogs. And I say dogs are better than demons. At least they are useless. They're useful. Whereas demons is useless. Verse 21. He asked the boy's father, "How long has this been going on?" "Ever since he was a little boy." What does it tell me? Deal with the problem instead of blaming people. Verse 22. "Many times it pitches him into a fire or the river to do away with him." Now, listen to this lousy, creepy statement. If you can do anything, do it. Have a heart and help us, poor thing. I hate that kind of stuff. The NLT has it better. Brother Harry, give me the NLT here. "The spirit often throws him in the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." How dare you, you punk, to look at the Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe, and ask him, "Help us if you can." Stop kicking the can. Deal with the problem. You have a demon-possessed child from birth. And what are you doing all this time? Why took you so long to bring this boy to Jesus? And then with your big lack of faith, you start blaming the disciple for being unable to cure the boy. No, you don't have faith. The boy is not the disciple's child. It's your child. 23. Jesus looked at him. "What do you mean, if I can?" Isn't that something? Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." Now, you believe in Jesus Christ. That dream that you have, that you think is impossible, will become possible tonight. Yeah. It's a saying, anything is possible if a person believes. If you believe in God, believe also in Jesus. Believe in your dreams. Believe in the future that God has for you. God never wake up in the morning and think how he's going to mess you up. God is ready to bless you every single day. You got to believe. Give him something to work with. Now listen to verse 24. Quite interesting. The father instantly cried out. Typical Christians of today. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. What a lousy. How can you believe and ask help with unbelief? Did you see the paradox? Deal with the problem. Don't kick the can down the road. Don't keep blaming the preacher on the prayer warriors or whoever is praying for your children that they can get delivered. If they can't help themselves, then get faith into gear.
Hallelujah.
And start believing. When they think about this, I think, thank God I wasn't that time. I would have called him, you're an idiot. You're looking at me, and you're telling me that you believe, and now you ask help with your unbelief. Do you see the paradox in your sentence? But there's an explanation to this. Some will say that his belief was only here in his head, not on his heart. So he had an intellectual belief. Like many people in the church today, they believe in God. They believe God can do things. But that faith is only here. Not here. So what you do? Deal with the thing. Let's change this thing. Deal with the situation. Let's go quick. 25. When Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that make this boy unable to hear and speak, he said. I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. You can look now to the thing that you think is impossible in your life. Listen, difficulty. I command you get out of my way so my miracle can come and never cross my path again. This is what Jesus did. Now, the backslider translation is messed up. Watch this. Seeing that the crowd was forming fast, Jesus gave the vilest spirit its marching orders. Dumb and deaf spirit, I command you out of him and stay out. Do you understand now when I'm praying? For the sick people, I command the spirit of sickness to get out and
stay out.
I'm doing what the master did. I'm just copying him. If it worked for him, it worked for you and I.
Amen.
Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Finally, verse 26. Screaming and with much thrashing about, it left. It left. The boy was pale as a corpse. So people start saying, he's dead. Ah. Oh. You're going to find that type of people in the crowd when you pray for somebody. 27. But Jesus, taking his hand, raised him. The boy stood up.
Amen.
There's nothing impossible for you.
Yes. Nothing.
The dreams that you have are not impossible dreams. You have come to God. You have come to Jesus. You have come to believe. Let's deal with the problem. If there is a reluctance in our hearts, let's deal with it. Let's kick it out. Tell them to get out. Reluctance, unbelief, doubt, whatever may be, get out. You're not allowed to come back ever again to my life. You're not going to hinder my dreams.
Thank you, Jesus.
You see, it's not whether God can do it. The question is whether we can believe it or not. You may say, preacher, I don't have that kind of faith. How do I come to that point to believe in that way? The answer is in Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I discovered, before I was burned up by the Holy Ghost, I was a chosen frozen, as you all know. And I used to beat up Pentecostal people. Well, God had to mess me up. Yes, my wife just reminded me. Beat up with arguments, not fist. I would break them down. There's no argument that could stand. So the Lord messed me up. And I had to be knocked down by the Holy Ghost for 3 days, speaking in tongues. Now, I had such a hunger. I want to know more about this. I spent 5 years in school and I never learned anything about the Holy Ghost stuff. And you know how did I get into this? I was hungry to read anything that spoke about the Holy Ghost. I started listening to the tapes that spoke about the Holy Ghost. I go anywhere that preachers were preaching about the Holy Ghost. The more I heard, the more pumped up I've got. 6 months into this new journey, at one point, me and an old lady, prayer warrior, we were good friends, we would go out on the congregation hunting for demons. We were demon hunting, you know, and sick people. And when we walk in, this little skinny kid walk in with this prayer warrior, touch somebody, the demon scream, get out. We had fun. You know, you may not have the faith to command the impossible to go tonight. Stand on your ground. Don't give up on your God. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on your hopes. And you know, soak yourself up. Soak yourself up, because your faith will increase when you start hearing the word of God. Amen. That's what the book says. This is what we stand with. Then it may be asked, okay, preacher, are you done? No, I'm not. Stop hurrying me. I'm not done yet. Is there anything else I have to do to stop the stop this, it's impossible mentality? Let me give you one or two more things. Number four. Begin to believe your words will really move mountains. Matthew 17:20 makes it plain. Now, many of us are not waiting to take a shot. Let's read it. You don't have enough faith? Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there. Nothing would have been possible. So what is the question then? Faith. What you're saying, preacher? Start believing that your words are able to move mountains. Yes. Amen. But, well, if there's a but, there's going to be a what, and what not, and you can't go far. Stop believing that your words carry the power to move mountains. And then, another thing that helped me a lot was meditating on people who had impossible situation in their lives turned around. Like who? Brother Harry, can I have Genesis 21:1? Read it with me. The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah. I want you to read somebody close to you and say, the Lord is going to do for you exactly what he said he will do. And you know why? The Lord always keeps his word. So, you know, start meditating on people that had impossible situation In this case here, the Bible said that the Lord kept his word. The Lord kept his word. And the New Testament says, he remained faithful even when we were unfaithful. So when the temptation comes to think it's impossible, remind yourself of the fact that God will always keep his word. Verse 2, real quick. She became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would. What you're saying, preacher? That your miracle will come when God says it will come.
Amen.
We fight doubt.
Amen.
By trusting that God will make the miracle come
Amen.
To pass.
Amen.
When he says it would. That it will. Verse 3. And Abraham named their son Isaac. For, love this. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded. 5. Abraham was
100 years old.
Here's a dude that is 100 years old. His wife is 90. Can we see an impossible here? Humanly speaking, it is impossible. But when God got involved on the situation, even 100 years old folks can give, can make children. Sarah was 90. Listen to verse 6. And Sarah declared, God has brought me laughter. Tell your neighbor, God wants to make you laugh. When he give you the desires of your heart. She goes on and she says, all who hear about this will laugh with me. Listen to verse 7. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse a baby? I will not get into details here, but medically speaking, the women's breasts start changing and deteriorating when you come to a certain age. It's science. Humanly speaking, you can't nurse a child once you pass 60 years. There has been a rare cases that has happened around the world, but it had a lot of help of in vitro fertilization and all the garbage in between. This gal is 90 years old. What you're saying, preacher? Your situation may look impossible to you, but if you just God come in between your situation, it will become possible. Just for a side note, age is not a hindrance with our God.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how old you is. God's power can still work. Hebrews 11:11 has it in a nice way. Watch this. Read it with me. By So did you notice that the impossible stuff always comes around with
faith?
Yes. Barren Sarah was able to become pregnant. Old woman she was at the time. Because she believed the one who made the promise would do what he said. God says that you are blessed. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says that in Christ Jesus, all of God's promises for you are yes and amen for the glory of God. If faith can just kick in for a little tiny bit, you will get your miracle sooner than what you expect. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So, preacher, what you're saying? If you're having a hard time believing, go to Hebrews 12. Find those people in the Bible that believed, that had impossible situations, and fill your mind with their testimonies. We have a great cloud of witness surrounding us. Whatever happened to them will happen to you too. Don't throw away your confidence in God's promises, because the Bible tells us to wrap up tonight that your God will never lie on you. And I'm going to wrap up with two verses. Hebrews 6:18. Maybe this is going to be enough. Hebrews 6:18. Let's read it. God can't break His word. And because His word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. We have lovely. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let it go.
Amen.
Folks, let's stop this nonsense. It's impossible. With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Let's stop this nonsense. Preacher, I hear what you say, but I can't believe it. Nonsense. Start believing that your words can move mountains. Would you care to repeat some words with me?
Sure.
Say with me. I will not throw away my confidence in God's word. Because my God will never lie to me.
Because my God will never lie to me.
I believe God can and will do anything.
I believe God can and will do anything.
That is in His word, and I believe.
That is in His word, and I believe.
Since my words can move mountains,
since my words can move mountains,
nothing will ever be impossible to me. I expect impossible situations to become possible today. Tonight I can say, I can believe in my miracle.
All of God's promises for my life
will start happening from tonight on. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.